with the brown becoming more and more pronounced in the yellow, and perhaps showing jagged bands, it indicates mental afflictions. A person who is a dual personality, in the psychiatric sense, will often show one half of the aura as a bluish yellow and the other half as a brownish or greenish yellow. It is a thoroughly unpleasant combination. 27. The pure golden yellow with which we commenced this heading of yellow should always be cultivated. It can be attained by keeping one's thoughts and one's intentions pure. Every one of us has to go along through the brighter yellow before we get far along the path of evolution. Green. Green is the color of healing, the color of teaching, and the color of physical growth. Great doctors and surgeons have a lot of green in their aura, they also have a lot of red, and, curiously enough, the two colors blend most harmoniously and there is no discord between them. Red and green when seen together in materials often clash and offend, but when they are seen in the aura they please. Green with a suitable red indicates a brilliant surgeon, a most competent man. Green alone without the red indicates a most eminent physician, one who knows his job, or it might indicate a nurse whose vocation is both her career and her love. Green mixed with a suitable blue indicates success at teaching. Some of the greater teachers had green in their auras and bands, or striations, of swirling blue, a form of electric blue, and often between the blue and the green there would be narrow bands of gold and yellow which would indicate that the teacher was one who had the welfare of his students at heart and had the necessary high spiritual perceptions in order to teach the best subjects. All those who are concerned with the health of people and animals have much green in their auric makeup. They may not be high-ranking surgeons or physicians, but all people, no matter who they are, if they are dealing with health either of animals or humans or plants, they all have a certain amount of green in their aura. It seems to be almost their badge of office. Green is not a dominant color, though, it is nearly always subservient to some other color. It is a helpful color and indicates that one who has much green in the aura is of a friendly, compassionate, considerate nature. If the person has a yellowish green, however, then that person cannot be trusted, and the more the mixture of unpleasant yellow to unpleasant green, the more untrustworthy, the more unreliable the person. Confidence tricksters have a yellow-green, the type of people who talk nicely to a person and then swindle them out of their money. These have a sort of lime green to which their, 28, yellow is added. As the green turns to blue, usually a pleasant sky blue or electric blue, the more trustworthy a person is. Blue. This color is often referred to as the color of the spirit world. It also shows intellectual ability as apart from spirituality, but of course it has to be of the right shade of blue. With the right shade it is a very favorable color indeed. The etheric is of a bluish tinge, a blue somewhat similar to non-inhaled cigarette smoke, or the blue of a wood fire. The brighter the blue, the healthier and the more vigorous in health is the person. Pale blue is the color of a person who vacillates a lot, a person who cannot make up his mind, a person who has to be pushed in order to get any worthwhile decision from him. A darker blue is that of a person who is making progress, a person who is trying. If the blue is darker still, it shows one who is keen on the tasks of life and who has found some satisfaction in it. These darker blues are often found in missionaries who are missionaries because they have definitely had a call. It is not found in missionaries who just desire a job, perhaps traveling round the world with all expenses paid. One can always judge of a person by the vigor of the yellow and the darkness of the blue. Indigo. We are going to class indigo and violet as being under the same heading because one shades imperceptibly into the other, and it is very much a case of one being quite dependent upon the other. People with indigo showing to a marked extent in their aura are people of deep religious convictions, not merely those who profess to be religious. There is a great deal of difference. Some people say that they are religious, some people believe they are religious, but until one can actually see the aura one cannot say for sure. Indigo proves it conclusively. If a person has a pinkish tinge in the indigo, the possessor of such a marked aura will be touchy and unpleasant, particularly to those who are under the control of the afflicted person. The pinkish tinge in the indigo is a degrading touch, it robs the aura of its purity. Incidentally, People with indigo or violet or purple in their auras suffer from heart trouble and stomach disorders. They are the type of people who should have no fried food and very little fat food. 29. Gray. Gray is a modifier of the colors of the aura. It does not signify anything of itself unless the person is most unevolved. If the person at whom you are looking is unevolved, then there will be great bands and splotches of gray, but you normally would not be looking at the nude body of an unevolved person. Gray in a color shows a weakness of character and a general poorness of health. If a person has gray bands over a particular organ, it shows that the organ is in danger of breaking down, and medical attention should be sought immediately. A person with a dull throbbing headache will have a gray smoky cloud going through the halo or nimbus, and no matter what color the halo, gray bands going through it will pulsate in time with the throb of the headache. Lesson 6. By now it will be obvious that everything that is a vibration. Thus, throughout the whole of existence there is what one could term a gigantic keyboard consisting of all the vibrations which can ever be. Let us imagine that it is the keyboard of an immense piano stretching for limitless miles. Let us imagine, if you like, that we are ants, and we can see just a very few of the notes. The vibrations will correspond to the different keys of the piano. One note, or key, would govern the vibrations which we term touch. The vibration which is so slow, so solid that we feel it rather than hear it or see it, figure 5. 30. Figure 5. The symbolic keyboard, the next note will be sound. That is, the note will cover those vibrations which activate the mechanism within our ears. We may not feel with our fingers those vibrations, but our ears tell us that there is sound. We cannot hear a thing which can be felt, nor can we feel a thing which can be heard. So we have covered two notes on our piano keyboard. The next will be sight. Here again, we have a vibration of such a frequency, that is, it is vibrating so rapidly, that we cannot feel it and we cannot hear it, but it affects our eyes and we call it sight. Interpenetrating these three notes there are very few others, such as that frequency, or band of frequencies, which we call radio. A note higher and we get telepathy, clairvoyance, and kindred manifestations or powers. But the whole point is that of the truly immense range of 31 frequencies, or vibrations, man can perceive only a very, very limited range. Sight and sound are closely related, however. We can have a color and say that it has a musical note because there are certain electronic instruments which have been made which will play a particular note if a color is put under the scanner. If you find that difficult to understand, consider this: radio waves, that is, music, speech and even pictures, are about us at all times. They are with us in the house, wherever we go, whatever we do. We, unaided, cannot hear those radio waves, but if we have a special device which we call a radio set which slows down the waves, or, if you like, converts the radio frequencies into audio frequencies, then we can hear the radio program originally broadcast or see the television pictures. In much the same way we can take a sound and say that there is a color to fit it, or we can have a color and say that that particular color has a musical note. This, of course, is well known in the East, and we consider that it does actually increase one's appreciation of art. For example, if one can look at a painting and imagine the chord which would be the result of those colors, if it were made into music. Everyone will, of course, be aware that Mars is also known as the Red Planet. Mars is the planet of red, and red of a certain shade, the basic red, has a musical note which corresponds to Do. Orange, which is a part of red, corresponds to the note Re. Some religious beliefs state that orange is the color of the sun, while other religions are of the opinion that blue should be the sun's color. We prefer to state that we hold orange to be the sun's color. Yellow corresponds to me, and the planet Mercury is the ruler of yellow. All this, of course, goes back into ancient Eastern mythology, just as the Greeks had their gods and goddesses who raced across the skies in flaming chariots, so the people of the East had their myths and their legends, but they invested the planets with colors, and said that such and such a color was ruled by such and such a planet. Green has a musical note corresponding to Fa. It is a color of growth, and it is stated by some people that plants can be stimulated by suitable notes of music. While we have no personal experience on this particular item, we have had information about it from an absolutely, 32, reliable source. Saturn is the planet controlling the color green. It may be of interest to state that the ancients derived these colors from the sensations they received as they contemplated a certain planet when they were meditating. Many of the ancients meditated on the highest parts of the earth, in the high peaks of the Himalayas, for example, and when one is 15,000 feet, or so, above the surface of the earth, quite a considerable amount of air is left behind, and planets can be seen more clearly, perceptions are more acute. Thus the sages of old laid down the rules about the colors of planets. Blue has the note of so. As we mentioned previously, some religions regard blue as the color of the sun, but we are working in the Eastern tradition and we are going to take the assumption that blue is covered by the planet Jupiter. Indigo is on the musical scale, and in the East is said to be ruled by Venus. Venus, when favorably aspected, that is, when conferring benefits upon a person, Venus gives artistic ability and purity of thought. It gives the better type of character. It is only when it is connected with lower vibration people that Venus leads to various excesses. Violet corresponds to the musical note of T and is ruled by the moon. Here again, if we have a well-aspected person, the moon, or violet, gives clarity of thought, spirituality, and controlled imagination. But if the aspects are poor, then, of course, there are mental disturbances or even lunacy. Outside the aura there is a sheath which completely encloses the human body, the etheric, and the aura itself. It is as if the whole assembly of the human entity, with the human body at the center, and then the etheric, and then the aura, is all encased in a bag. Imagine it like this: we have an ordinary hen's egg. Inside there is the yolk corresponding to the human body, the physical body, that is. Beyond the yolk we have the white of the egg, which we will say represents the etheric and the aura. But then outside the white of the egg, between the white and the shell, there is a very thin skin, quite a tough skin it is, too. When you boil an egg and you get rid of the shell, you can peel off this skin, the human assembly are like that. It is all encased in this skin-like covering. This skin is completely transparent and under the impact of swirls or tremors in the aura it undulates somewhat, but it always tries, 33, to regain its egg shape, something similar to a balloon always trying to regain its shape because the pressure within is greater than the pressure without. You will be able to visualize it more if you imagine the body, the etheric, and the aura contained within an exceedingly thin cellophane bag of ovoid shape, figure 6. Figure 6. Auric sheath. As one thinks, one projects from the brain through the etheric through the aura, and onto the auric skin. Here, upon the outer surface of that covering, one gets pictures of the thoughts. As in so many other instances, this is another example corresponding to radio or television. In the neck of a television tube there is what is known as an electron gun, which shoots fast-moving electrons onto a fluorescent screen, which is the viewing screen, the part at which you gaze. As the electrons impinge upon a special coating inside the television screen, the thing fluoresces, that is, there is a point of light which persists for a time so that the eyes can carry over by residual memory the picture of where the point of light was. So eventually the human eye sees the whole picture on the television screen. As the picture at the transmitter varies, so does the picture that you see on the television screen vary. In 34, much the same way thoughts go from our transmitter, that is, the brain, and reach that sheath covering the aura. Here the thoughts seem to impinge and form pictures which a clairvoyant can see. But we see not merely the pictures of present thoughts, we can also see what has been. It is easily possible for an adept to look at a person and to actually see on the outer covering of the aura some of the things that the subject has done during the past two or three lives. It may sound fantastic to the uninitiated, but nevertheless it is perfectly correct. Matter cannot be destroyed. Everything that is still exists. If you make a sound, the vibration of that sound, the energy which it causes, goes on forever. If, for instance, you could go from this earth quite instantly to a far, far planet you would see, provided you had suitable instruments, pictures which happened thousands and thousands of years before. Light has a definite speed, and light does not fade, so that if you got sufficiently distant from the Earth, instantly, you would be able to see the creation of the Earth. But this is taking us away from the subject under discussion. We want to make the point that the subconscious, not being controlled by the conscious, can project pictures of things beyond the present reach of the conscious. And so a person with good powers of clairvoyance can easily see what manner of person faces him. This is an advanced form of psychometry. It is what one might term visual psychometry. We will deal with psychometry later. Everyone with any perception or sensitivity at all can sense an aura, even when they do not actually see it. How many times have you been instantly attracted, or instantly repelled by a person when you have not even spoken to him? Unconscious perception of the aura explains one's likes and dislikes. All peoples used to be able to see the aura, but through abuses of various kinds they lost the power. During the next few centuries people are going once again to be able to do telepathy, clairvoyance, etc. Let us go further into the matter of likes and dislikes. Every aura is composed of many colors and many striations of colors. It is necessary that the colors and striations match each other before two people can be compatible. It is often the case that a husband and a wife, 35, will be very compatible in one or two directions, and completely incompatible in others. That is because the particular waveform of one aura only touches the waveform of the partner's aura at certain definite points, and on those points there is complete agreement and complete compatibility. We say, for instance, that two people are poles apart, and that is definitely the case when they are incompatible. If you prefer, you can take it that people who are compatible have auric colors which blend and harmonize, whereas those who are incompatible have colors which clash and would be really painful to look upon. People come of certain types. They are of common frequencies. People of a common type go about in a body. You may get a whole herd of girls going about together, or a whole group of young men lounging on street corners or forming gangs. That is because all these people are of a common frequency or common types of aura. They depend upon each other, they have a magnetic attraction for each other, and the strongest person in the group will dominate the whole and influence them for good or for bad. Young people should be trained by discipline and by self-discipline to control their more elementary impulses in order that the race as a whole may be improved. As already stated, a human is centered within the egg-shaped covering, centered within the aura, and that is the normal position for most people, the average, healthy person. When a person has a mental illness, he or she is not properly centered. Many people have said, "I feel out of myself today." That may well be the case. A person may be projecting at an angle inside the ovoid. People who are of dual personality are completely different from the average. They may have half the aura of one color, and half of a completely different color pattern. They may, if their dual personality is marked, have an aura which is not just one egg shape but has two eggs joined together at an angle to each other. Mental illness should not be treated so lightly. Shock treatment can be a very dangerous thing because it can drive the astral, we shall deal with this later, straight out of the body. But in the main, shock treatment is designed, consciously or unconsciously, to shock the two eggs into one. Often it just burns out neural patterns in the brain. We are born with certain potentialities, certain limits as to the 36 coloring of our auras, the frequency of our vibrations and other things, and it is thus possible for a determined, well-intentioned person to alter his or her aura for the better. Sadly, it is much easier to alter it for the worse. Socrates, to take one example, knew that he would be a good murderer, but he was not going to give in to the blows of fate, and so he took steps to alter his path through life. Instead of becoming a murderer, Socrates became the wisest man of his age. All of us can, if we want to, raise our thoughts to a higher level and so help our auras. A person with a brown muddy colored red in the aura, which shows excessive sexuality, can increase the rate of vibration of the red by sublimating the sexual desires, and then he will become one with much constructive drive, one who makes his way through life. The aura vanishes soon after death, but the etheric may continue for quite a long time. It depends on the state of health of its former possessor. The etheric can become the mindless ghost which carries out senseless hauntings. Many people in the country districts have seen a form of bluish glow over the graves of those who have just been interred. This glow is particularly noticeable by night. This, of course, is merely the etheric dissipating away from the decomposing body. In the aura, low vibrations give dull muddy colors, colors which nauseate rather than attract. The higher one's vibrations become the purer and the more brilliant become the colors of the aura, brilliant not in a garish way, but in the best, the most spiritual way. One can only say that pure colors are delightful while the muddy colors are distasteful. A good deed brightens one's outlook by brightening one's auric colors. A bad deed makes us feel blue or puts us in a black mood. Good deeds, helping others, make us see the world through rose-tinted spectacles. It is necessary to keep constantly in mind that the color is the main indicator of a person's potentialities. Colors change, of course, with one's moods, but the basic colors do not change unless the person improves, or deteriorates, the character. You may take it that the basic colors remain the same, but the transient colors fluctuate and vary according to the mood. When you are looking at the colors of a person's aura, you should ask, 37, 1. What is the color? 2. Is it clear or muddy? How plainly can I see through it? 3. Does it swirl over certain areas, or is it located almost permanently over one spot? 4. Is it a continuous band of color holding its shape and its form, or does it fluctuate and have sharp peaks and deep valleys? 5. We must also make sure that we are not prejudging a person, because it is a very simple matter to look at an aura and imagine that we see a muddy color when actually it is not muddy at all. It may be our own wrong thoughts which makes a color appear muddy, for remember, in looking at any other person's aura we first have to look through our own aura. There is a connection between musical and mental rhythms. The human brain is a mass of vibrations with electrical impulses radiating from every part of it. A human emits a musical note depending upon the rate of vibration of that human. Just as one could get near a beehive and hear the drone of a whole lot of bees, so perhaps could some other creature hear humans. Every human has his or her own basic note which is constantly emitted in much the same way as a telephone wire emits a note in a wind. Further, popular music is such that it is in sympathy with the brain wave formation, it is in sympathy with the harmonic of the body vibration. You may get a hit tune which sets everyone humming it and whistling it. People say that they have such and such a tune running constantly through their brain. Hit tunes are ones which key into the human brain waves for a certain time before their basic energy is dissipated. Classical music is of a more permanent nature. It is music which causes our auditory waveform to vibrate pleasantly in sympathy with the classical music. If the leaders of a nation want to rouse up their followers, they have to compose, or have composed, a special form of music called a national anthem. One hears the national anthem and one gets filled with all sorts of emotions, then one stands upright and thinks kindly of the country, or thinks fierce thoughts of other countries. That is merely because the vibrations which we call sound have caused our mental vibrations to react in a certain way. Thus it is possible to, 38, pre-order certain reactions in a human being by playing certain types of music to that person. A deep thinking person, one who has high peaks and deep hollows to his brain waveform, likes music of the same type, that is, music having high peaks and a deep waveform. But a scatterbrain person prefers the scatterbrain music, music that is more or less a jingle jangle and on a chart would be represented more or less accurately by just a squiggle. Many of the greatest musicians are those who consciously or subconsciously can do astral traveling, and who go to the realms beyond death. They hear the music of the spheres. Being musicians, this heavenly music makes a vast impression upon them. It sticks in their memory so that when they come back to earth they are immediately in a composing mood. They rush to a musical instrument or to lined paper, and immediately write down, so far as they remember, the notations of the music which they heard in the astral. Then they say, remembering no better, that they have composed this or that work. The diabolic system of subliminal advertising in which an advertising message is flashed on the television screen too quick for the conscious eyes to see, plays upon one's semi-awareness while not impinging upon the conscious perceptions. The subconscious is jerked to awareness by the flow of wave patterns reaching it, and the subconscious, being 9/10 of the whole, eventually drives the consciousness to go out and purchase the item which was advertised, even though, consciously, the person concerned knows that he or she does not even desire such a thing. An unscrupulous group of people, such as the leaders of a country who had not the welfare of the people at heart, could actually make the people react to any subliminal commands by using this form of advertising. Lesson 7. This is going to be a short lesson, but a very important one. It is suggested that you read this particular lesson very, very carefully indeed. Many people, in trying to see the aura, are impatient. They expect to 39. Read some written instructions, look up from the printed page, and see auras arrayed before their startled gaze. It is not quite so simple as that. Many of the great masters take almost a lifetime before being able to see the aura, but we maintain that provided a person be sincere and will practice conscientiously, the aura can be discerned by the majority of people. It is stated that most people can be hypnotized, in just the same way most people with practice, and that practice really means perseverance, can see the aura. It must be emphasized over and over again that if one wants to see the aura at its best, one has to look upon a nude body, for the aura is influenced considerably by clothing. For example, supposing a person says, "Oh, I will put on everything absolutely fresh from the laundry, then it will not interfere with my aura." Well, in all probability, some parts of the clothing have been handled by someone at the laundry. Laundry work is monotonous, and the people who are engaged upon it normally reflect upon their own affairs. In other words, they are a bit out of themselves, and as they mechanically fold clothing, or touch the clothing, their thoughts are not upon their work but upon their own private business. The impressions from their own aura enter into the clothing, and then when you go to put on that clothing and look at yourself, you are going to find that you have got somebody else's impressions there. Difficult to believe? Look at it this way: you have a magnet and you touch that magnet quite idly with a penknife. Afterwards you find that the penknife has picked up the auric influence of the magnet. It is in much the same way with humans: one can pick up from the other. A woman can go to a show, sit beside a stranger, and afterwards she can say, "Oh, I must have a bath. I feel contaminated being close to that person." If you want to see the true aura with all its colors, you must look at a nude body. If you can look at a female body, you will find that the colors are more distinct. We really hate to say this, but often with the female body the colors are stronger, more crude if you like. But whatever way you term it, they are still stronger and easier to see. Some of us might find it difficult to go out and discover a woman who will take off her clothes without any objections, so why not use your own body for a change? 40. You must be alone for this. You must be alone in the privacy of, for example, a bathroom. Make sure that the bathroom has a subdued light. If you find the light is too bright, and it should definitely be dim, hang a towel close to the source of light so that while there is illumination it is of a very low order. A word of warning here: make sure that the towel is not so close to the lamp that it smolders and catches fire. You are not trying to burn up your house, but to cut down the light. If you can get hold of one of those Osglim lamps which use no current that registers on a meter, then you will find that is very, very suitable indeed. An Osglim lamp consists of a clear glass bulb. From the glass pinch inside the bulb there is a short rod to which is affixed a round circular plate. Another rod comes out of the glass pinch and extends almost to the top of the bulb, and from it depends a coarse spiral of quite heavy wire. When this lamp is inserted into a lamp socket and switched on, it glows with a reddish glow. We are going to include an illustration of this type of lamp because, of course, Osglim is a trade name, and in different localities the name may be varied. Figure 7, Osglim type of neon glow lamp with the Osglim switched on, or with your illumination of a definitely dim order, take off all your clothes and look at yourself in a full-length mirror. Do not try to see anything for the moment, just relax.